So I want to see maybe you know, wiggle your hand a little or give me a smirk. If you're somebody who kind of likes to follow some sports, if not, keep a straight face. Yeah, good. Some of you out there like to follow sports. How about basketball specifically? Anybody watch some basketball? Ooh, I see a big hand back there. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of basketball. I grew up watching a lot of the gals who would dribble the ball in. Guards, right, would try to stop them. College basketball, university basketball, or NBA. These days, there's these huge guys in the middle, right? And when somebody goes up to shoot, what does the big guy in the middle do? What is the defender? He blocks. He wants to block the guy from getting off the shot, or if the guy shoots the ball in the air, he wants to try to block it. I remember as a kid, you know, going to games, and I don't know if you've ever been to big games where, you know, there's kind of that banter in the crowd of the game, and so the crowd would kind of yell, right, if the ball got slapped down, blocked, people would yell, "Rejected!" I don't know if you've seen that, but it would be kind of a joke, right, of when somebody tried to score, and they not only didn't score, they got the ball batted away, rejected. Now, if you're not into sports, let's use a different analogy. What about TV shows? Ever watch something called The Bachelor? It's a reality TV show. Or Survivor, where you have a bunch of people and they're trying to survive, and then every once in a while they vote on who has to leave the island. I don't know if you've seen those. I've seen a few nods yes and a few nods no. Well, the whole premise of a lot of these reality TV shows is who is rejected and who is accepted. So in The Bachelor, the premise is there's one guy and there's a whole bunch of girls that are trying to win his heart. Right, it's like a game, a competition. And every episode, at the end, the guy votes somebody off the show. Like, nope, it's not going to be you. I'm not going to be interested in you. So can you imagine how it's this competition for most of the girls in The Bachelor just to be rejected? And it's kind of in this public way. Okay, maybe you're not into TV shows. How about this illustration? How about movies? Anybody likes to watch movies? Anybody seen The Hunger Games? Yeah? Kind of an intense movie or a series of movies with rejection and acceptance being very bloody. So you see these folks playing in the Hunger Games, and it's basically don't get killed, right? Be the last one to survive. And you see people making alliances with each other, in part for self-defense and in part to win. And so then you quickly watch the ones who are isolated, the weaker ones get eliminated, literally with their life. So it's a kind of in that movie, there's this very graphic, if you like action type movies, very graphic image of rejected and accepted. Very brutal. How about, let's break it down if you don't like any of those illustrations. How about just your childhood? Ever felt rejected? You ever been in a classroom where the teacher says, okay, everybody needs to get into groups to do this math project or this whatever, you know, science project? And doesn't it feel nice when somebody says to you, oh, come in my group, right? You feel accepted. And doesn't it feel awful if nobody wants to be in your group? Maybe you've witnessed that. Maybe you've experienced it. Sometimes in our families of origin, right? These are human realities and feelings I think we all can relate to. Times when maybe we felt rejected by a family member. Or at least neglected. if not something harsh said to us? And as well, how good is it? How healing is it? How wonderful is it when we feel accepted, loved, embraced, welcomed? So these are themes. These are very human, real themes throughout our cultures, throughout our lived experiences that I want us to look at today. And I want us to look at it today through the lens of the passages that we had read out of Isaiah and out of Hebrews. And I'll also be up front, I'm going to be pulling from the Gospels. So we're going to be looking at the rejection and acceptance of Jesus Christ. The rejection and acceptance of Jesus Christ. So the passage that Sujith just read for us out of Isaiah 53, that's an Old Testament book of the Bible. These were words spoken and taught before Jesus was born on earth, as far as historical timeline. So this particular passage is believed to be a prophetic part of Scripture, meaning that the prophet Isaiah was speaking about someone who was yet to come, someone who had not yet come to earth. And Isaiah here has this whole section that's considered a prophetic passage about the coming of the Messiah, the chosen one of God who would bring salvation. And scholars widely believe that Isaiah 53 is a prophetic passage about Jesus Christ. Bible scholars see this as a passage that we would call a Christological passage, meaning it happened before Christ came to earth, but it was about Christ. And if you read through Isaiah 53, it's not this rosy picture of the Messiah having no problems and coming in with the red carpet and all was rosy and beautiful and no problems. No, it paints a picture of the Messiah who's going to suffer, who is going to be acquainted with grief, who is going to feel rejected. Did you catch that in verse 3? Tim, maybe you can flip to the next part. Verse 3 says, he was despised and rejected by others. He was despised and rejected by others. So I want us just to kind of enter into what did Jesus Christ experience? The prophecy here is teaching that Jesus experienced rejection. And so I'm going to also refer to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think the Bible study now is looking at Mark, so you can see some of this in that book of the Bible. So any of the books that really specifically look at the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, will show you this, as well as some other New Testament books like Hebrews that we had read. Jesus and rejection. Let's consider Jesus and crowds. So Jesus was commonly known in his ministry years as being a miracle worker, a healer, a teacher, and he became this figure that others were following, and crowds would come to him, and the sick would come to him and say, Jesus, heal me, right? And so he had this status, this following, and yet, at the end, when Jesus was arrested and brought before Pilate, who would have been the one in charge of the region, Pontius Pilate, Pilate had him stand in front of the crowd. And the crowd rejected Jesus. They said, kill him, away with him, crucify him. So at times, Jesus in his life had experienced welcome, popularity from the crowd. And yet at the end of his life, he experienced the crowd rejecting him. Let's talk about Jesus' power, his influence, his reputation among the rulers of the day. Now, we can talk about the rulers, meaning the Roman government, who is the big powerhouse politically. We can also talk about the religious leaders, people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, people who were working in the temple, people who had kind of leadership or spiritual power, and therefore you could also say some political power in the culture of the day. If you read through one of the Gospels, you will see that Jesus was rejected by both the religious leaders and the government officials. Now, there were a few that still supported Jesus, but they stayed quiet. And so the religious leaders largely not only rejected Jesus, but were happy to get rid of him, happy to have him killed, and worked in that direction. How about Jesus and his friends? Right? I mean, it's one thing to have the crowd reject you. It's one thing to have work colleagues, you could say, reject you. But what about his friends? The ones who lived with him and broke bread with him and ate with him and knew him so well and loved him. One of the 12 is the one who went to the officials and said, "How much will you give me if I give Jesus into your hands so that he could be arrested?" He's often called the betrayer, Judas. He was one of the 12. Or how about Peter, the disciple who was considered by some to be one of the closest friends of Jesus? The night Jesus was arrested and imprisoned, Peter denied publicly 3 times that he didn't know Jesus, didn't know even who he was. So we could say that Jesus really experienced rejection even among his closest friends. What about Jesus' self-dignity, his body? Was that respected? I would say to you, no. Because at the end of his life, and this is kind of gruesome, it would kind of be in the genres of the Hunger Games, really, right? The scripture tells us he was blindfolded, he was beat with a stick, he was spit upon, he was called names and insults, they slapped him, they whipped him, and then at the end they led him off to a very public place, they took his clothes from him, and they nailed him to a wooden cross in a very public way, along the road where everyone coming in and out of Jerusalem would see a naked, bleeding man dying, humiliated. So one could say Jesus experienced very oppressive, warlike physical abuse and humiliation. That's extreme rejection. I think there's another one here that maybe we can miss, but Jesus also felt that even in his relationship with God the Father. God the Father, the scriptures are always telling us that Jesus and the Father were one. They were always talking, right? And Jesus, one of his last words on the cross is, "God, why have you forsaken me?" I'm here dying and bleeding and being humiliated. Where are you, God? He really felt extreme senses there. Now, I'm so thankful, theologically, spiritually speaking, that Jesus also had an extreme sense of knowing what he was doing. Jesus knew he was going to be killed and rejected for the acceptance of others. And that's why one of his very last words on the cross was, "Father, I commend to you my spirit." Now, for those of us who are in Christ, who would say, "Yes, I follow Jesus," or "I'm a Christian," we know that that's not the end of the story, right? Thank God, right? If you read more of the story, you know that Jesus was raised from the dead. God raised him back to life. And there are accounts in the scriptures that he appeared to many resurrected, and that after many days, he ascended back to heaven. And scripture says he's now seated in the heavenlies with God, again in unity. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews that Sujith read, talks about Jesus being our high priest. Did you catch that? In other words, Hebrews is saying that Jesus came and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And that Jesus purposely was rejected so we could be accepted. Let me say that again. Jesus was personally and purposely rejected so we could be accepted. You see, on the Father's heart, on Jesus' heart, on the Spirit's heart, all united was, we want to make a way for our creation, that's us, to freely again be at peace with one another, love one another. God wanted to offer radical acceptance to us. And so the story of the cross is a hard one, really. It's a harsh one. I mean, I've been following Jesus for a lot of years, and yet when I really think about it, it's an intense story. That Christ died and was so extremely rejected so that I could be accepted by God. And not only accepted, but embraced, loved. And so I just simply want to say to you today, the good news of the message of Jesus Christ is that God loves you. And that Jesus has made a way, a bridge for you to find peace with God again. That you can find a place in God where you're accepted, where you're welcomed, where you're embraced, where you're forgiven, where you find new life. And hopefully, we as a church community share that, where when you walk through these doors, you're radically accepted. No matter where you're from, what you look like, what your history is, we want to be a part of God's heart to say, you're accepted here, we're going to love you. We might not always agree on things, probably good chance not. But we're gonna love you. You're accepted here. And I think Christianity at its best, or Jesus Christ at its core, is about this radical acceptance that Christ offers. And community, the church at its best, is about, I'm gonna love you. Full stop. Radical acceptance. And I love that about the good news of Jesus. And I want to encourage us just to take a few moments. I'm going to read to you the passage of Hebrews. And just meditate on that. Pray into this scripture and this challenge to you today. Since we have Jesus, a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or understand our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Take a few moments in the quiet to pray through that.